The Australian government's chief scientific research body, the CSIRO, is being taken to court as part of a campaign by fire experts to get crucial data on smoke alarms. Critics claim the CSIRO's test data shows the most common type of smoke alarm, called ionisation, is too slow to activate in smouldering fires, which they allege become the most fatal blazes. These smoke alarms have already been banned in Europe, some US jurisdictions, and in Queensland and the Northern Territory. The campaigners say if the CSIRO data was released, more Australian states would follow suit and ban the smoke alarms. Annie Guest has more.
If the CSIRO was forced to release the smoke alarm test data in question, independent fire safety expert David Isaac alleges there'll be serious ramifications for smoke alarm manufacturers.
I would imagine they'd want to make sure that their product liability and premiums were paid, because it doesn't need to have a particularly intelligent legal person to connect the dots, and they can prove that the failure of an ionisation smoke alarm to warn caused injury or death.
RN Breakfast requested interviews with the smoke alarm manufacturers Schneider Electric and Chubb, and also the CSIRO. There are two main types of smoke alarm, photoelectric and ionisation. Ionisation alarms are banned in Europe and in some states of the US, while in Queensland and the Northern Territory, they're being phased out ahead of a total ban. But these detectors are still used in 90% of Australian households, according to fire experts. Ionisation alarms can respond well to fast-flaming fires, but they've been repeatedly blamed for deaths in fires with a longer smouldering phase, particularly overnight. Here's Louis Namovsky from the Logan House Fire Support Network, south of Brisbane.
Year to date, we've already attended 194 house fires here in the southeast region. And as long as we can get back in the house, if it's not totally destroyed, lo and behold, it's an ionisation smoke alarm fitted up on the ceiling, and it just failed to activate.
Those blazes claimed 12 lives. Mr. Namovsky says ionisation smoke alarms did not activate in time in 70% of those fires, while in the other 30%, the alarms were rendered useless by residents. He says burnt toast can trigger ionisation alarms, so sometimes people disconnect them.
The grief, the heartache, every anniversary, every birthday, every Christmas, they're not spending with their loved ones. They're grieving, they're hurting. And all could have been avoided if they had some warning in their home, not having to disconnect their alarm because it's a nuisance one. If they had a working photoelectric smoke alarm in their home, we would not have had Australia's worst residential fire here in Logan.
11 people died in the 2011 inferno. The youngest was aged 3. It was heavily canvassed at a Senate inquiry, and later a coronial inquest in New South Wales led to that state's fire service being tasked with research aimed to settle the dispute over smoke alarms. Assistant Commissioner Mark Wybrow has declined an interview request today. Here he is on RN Breakfast in January.
There were noticeable differences in the 4 different alarm types that we tested. Some reacted better in certain circumstances, whereas others were more favourable but produced a better performance in others. Once again, our research shows that no particular smoke alarm reacts the best in all situations. So what we're saying is it's actually the number, the location and the interconnection of smoke alarms that gives you the best possible chance.
But the report did not satisfy critics, including the World Fire Safety Foundation and David Isaac, who alleged the testing methodology was dangerously flawed because the fire service does not properly understand the technology. Mr. Isaac is a respected fire protection engineer and safety consultant who is a member of an Australian Standards Committee that writes the standards for smoke alarms. He says obtaining the CSIRO test data would settle the issue, but an earlier Freedom of Information request was knocked back over commercial confidentiality. Mr. Isaac says he previously saw the test data when employed by a smoke alarm manufacturer.
The test data is data which is derived from the testing of smoke alarms that are submitted by manufacturers to the CSIRO in order to have the smoke alarms endorsed with the Australian Standards Test Approval.
And David Isaac, what do you allege that that test data would reveal to people?
So what the test data will show is that ionisation smoke alarms don't activate in the Australian Standard Test for smoke sensitivity until the obscuration level or the smoke level in the room is more than four times greater than what is permitted for a photoelectric smoke alarm to pass the standard.
In the CSIRO tests conducted between 1993 and 2015, he says the photoelectric alarm was triggered at 7 to 9 minutes. The ionisation alarm activated at 16 to 17 minutes. But the ionisation alarm was not deemed to have failed the test because it wasn't being assessed for smoke detection. It was being assessed for submicron particles. They're invisible combustible fumes, somewhat akin to a heat haze.
The Australian standard actually allows two different pass criteria for the two different types of smoke alarms. The problem is that for testing ionisation alarms, they are not required to pass an obscuration test, and therein is the problem with the standard.
The test in question was a fast smouldering fire. How representative is that of the most common fires that kill people?
Fires that start from a smouldering fire that occurs at night when people sleep, from electrical faults and cigarettes on mattresses on carpet or behind a couch, are statistically the ones that kill more people. They're not the most common fire. The most common fire is a kitchen fire, but most people are cognizant and awake in a kitchen fire and they can get out of the house.
Smoke from a smouldering fire can dull people's senses and obscure sight. And once the fire reaches the flaming stage, Mr. Isaac says there's only about 3 minutes to get out. The Australian Building Code mandates photoelectric alarms in all hospitals and hotels. The smoke alarm manufacturers Schneider Electric and Chubb did not agree to interview requests. The CSIRO declined an interview request ahead of the hearing next month in the Freedom of Information Division of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal.
That's that report from Annie Guest.